Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we are asking the question, what are you worth?
That's right, Joel. What are you worth? It's such a provocative question. If you actually think about it,
what's the value of a human life, man?
It's a lot. Economists will actually put a number on it. You know, like they run studies and whatnot. But it actually makes me think of a near where we live on our part of town. There's an old fast food restaurant that's been closed for years.
The old Long John Silver's?
No, not that one. On the other side of the street.
We have a lot of closed down fast food restaurants nearby.
But I'm talking about the one that says on one side of the sign, it says, what's your? And then on the other side, it says, sole purpose. And so it's always kind of intrigued me. It's kind of, you know, it's a provocative sign for me. It always kind of gets you thinking a little bit. And so, you know, that was our goal for this episode. What's your worth? But we're specifically talking about your net worth. We're not going to necessarily dive into all the things that we need to keep in mind when we are judging the quality or, you know, of our life, our happiness.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about net worth. And I'm actually surprised that we haven't talked about this sooner before on the show.
Yeah, me too.
It's such an integral number to personal finance.
It is. It is. And obviously your net worth is important, but it's also not, of course, the most important thing. If it were, that would mean Jeff Bezos was,
or is it,
200 billion times more important than me. And we know that's not true. maybe 1 or 2 billion. I'll give him that.
He's only worth like 5 times more than you.
Exactly. Exactly.
In human capital. I don't know what that means. But.
Right. But yeah, so we're going to talk about net worth today. What net worth means, how you can calculate your own net worth, where it falls short, all those kind of things. Net worth is the discussion we're going to be having on the show today.
Let's do it.
But before we get to that, Matt.
Oh, not yet.
Frugal or cheap, and or the opposite of that. Maybe it's neither. The other day,
Did you get ripped off?
I did not get ripped off.
Okay.
But, well, kind of. Birthday cards or buying a card in a store for someone is...
Oh, you ripped yourself off.
I ripped myself off.
Okay.
I didn't plan ahead. And granted, I have kids, so I don't need to buy cards for anyone. I can just have them make it out of construction paper.
There you go.
But I kind of felt the need for some reason this year for my mom's birthday to get a for real card. Usually, I go to Trader Joe's because they're $1 cards and they're really nice. But
pick
I didn't
up
have...
some $3 Chuck while you're at it?
Yeah, maybe. And I just didn't have time to head to Trader Joe's this time, so I went to Target and I got a $4 birthday card. I was looking at the cards. Some of them are $9 and $10 a birthday card with like music playing and like fuzzy stuff on the front. It's kind of crazy. It's out of control.
That's a lot of money.
But yeah, so did I rip myself off? Should I have been more frugal or cheap? Or is it okay every once in a while to last minute buy a $4 birthday card for someone you love?
I don't think you need to beat yourself up over it. $4 in the grand scheme of things, is that a big deal? Like, no. If that was us, if we were in that situation, that's just an expense that goes into our giving category, which that's our category of our budget every month that we set aside for birthdays and money that we spend on other people. But could you have spent those three additional dollars elsewhere, you know, since you didn't make it to Trader Joe's? Yeah, I guess so. You could have bought a bottle of wine.
That's true.
But I totally hear what you're saying. You know, I'm assuming you didn't plan ahead, you know?
I did not. And that's actually the most frustrating part for me when I spend money because I didn't plan ahead. And of course, you know, I thought about my mom's birthday, thought about what I wanted to give her. I love her very much. And it was one of those things, though, where the vessel, I don't know why I felt the need to deliver it that way.
I just wanted to.
And typically, I'm kind of anti that. Like, I am the guy who will make something out of construction paper myself, pre-kids. Like, I will do that. I don't care. Like,
Emily, where's the construction paper?
I totally
the markers.
I totally used to do that. I don't care, man. Yeah, I don't know. It just was one of those things that I ended up doing, and I kind of beat myself up a little bit over it.
I think it's totally fine to switch things up. You know, like that's something you've done in the past, but you know, it kind of makes it when you do buy a quote unquote fancy card, makes it a little more special. And on top of that, you're spending it on somebody else. And so I tend to feel a little more freedom when it comes to spending money on other people. You're being a little more altruistic. You're giving that away to somebody else. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be the very best deal because the fact is, like, you are paying for something. You're paying for a Target card. And I'm guessing those cards might be a little bit fancier than the cards at Trader Joe's. And so even though it may not be something like that you normally would have done, I think it's totally fine.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I'm glad you're not kicking me aside from my post as the co-host of this podcast.
No. You're not on my list now for people who have done poor things with their money.
Okay. That's good to know. All right. Well, let's Matt mentioned the beer that we're going to have on this episode. This one's called Ye Who Enter Here. And this is an Imperial Stout by an awesome brewery right down the street from us called Orpheus Brewing. So,
yeah, and specifically, man, this beer is a very special stout. This isn't any ordinary stout, but we're not going to get into all that now. We'll share our tasting notes and our thoughts about this beer at the end of the episode.
That's right. All right, Matt, let's get on to the subject at hand. We're talking about
now what, we shall talk about net worth.
Exactly. So the big question of the day is, what are you worth and what is your net worth? And net worth is a really important measurement of your financial health, but you might not have any idea what yours is. Your monthly budget, well, we've talked about that a lot. It's a great snapshot, and it actually massively influences your net worth, because the more you grow the gap between your monthly income and your expenses, the more you'll have additional money to grow that net worth through saving and investing. So think of budgeting as an amongst the trees view, while net worth is taking that helicopter ride up to get a view of the entire forest. And both perspectives are super helpful for anyone who's striving to get their finances in order and build wealth. But knowing your net worth and knowing how to figure it out, and then how that factors into how you feel about your financial progress, is something really important to look at.
That's right, man. Essentially, net worth, like, it's a marker of how well you're doing specifically financially. You know, like, there are going to be ups and downs, right? Depending on how long you've been investing, your net worth might have taken a really big hit in March, back when the markets declined. But if you held on tight, like, you've likely seen it rebound and even surpass maybe where it was before the pandemic. But the thing is, when it comes to making smart moves with our money, one of the biggest problems is that it can just be really difficult to measure or judge how well we're doing financially. You know, like, we talk about a lot of different numbers on the show. Personal finance can be really confusing, man. And because of this, we oftentimes will look outward to things that signal that we are doing well, you know? And so I'm talking about the things that we buy. Our home, cars, like cell phones, and just like the things that we have delivered to our front doors. These things are terrible indicators as to how we're doing financially, but they're often the things that, you know, they catch our eye, and it's how we, unfortunately, you know, will compare ourselves to others as well. And we all know how others, how they can have an impact on our perception of how we're doing.
Yeah, and that perception informs so much of how we feel about our progress. And another, I think, ineffective way for us to measure how we're doing is by one other specific number. We consider our salary or our last paycheck as being the marker of how well we're doing financially. If we make a good income, if that paycheck is big every 2 weeks, then we feel good about where we are in regards to our standing with money. But we're talking about net worth, and that is a much more important factor than just your salary or your income. It's a much better barometer of how you're doing. And I think if you do well, if you make a decent salary, it can be attractive to people like software engineers, doctors, or lawyers maybe, to consider their income as one of the major representatives of how they're doing financially. But it doesn't matter how big your income is if you're spending it all every month. And if you're only looking at income and you're not looking at your expenses, then you're only seeing a part of the equation. And so compared to buying stuff that others can see, our salary is a bit more private, but unfortunately, it's still a measure we tend to hang our hat on. And we think that net worth gives you a kind of a more balanced approach to seeing how you're actually doing when it comes to your money.
Yeah, both of these things, right? Your salary and what it is you spend your money on. Both of these things are relative. And so because of that, they're poor measures of how well we actually are doing financially. So obviously, yeah, this is where net worth comes in handy and why it's so important. It's just a great snapshot to quickly visualize how our overall finances are doing. You know, unlike relying on salary, which only focuses on your income, or just relying on buying stuff, right, which only focuses on some of our expenses, net worth looks at the entire picture and is able to give you cold, hard numbers that tell you like it is. Part of net worth's strength lies in the fact that it's consistent. It's unbiased. You know, it doesn't fluctuate with our emotions. We're human, and so that's why it's good for us to let data, to allow the proper numbers to inform how we're actually doing when it comes to our personal finances. And then on top of that, too, it can also be great when it comes to goal setting, since, you know, your net worth, it is so easily measured.
So yeah, just after the break, we'll cover how to track it and how to grow it. And of course, Matt and I, we believe that your net worth is important. We've been talking about why it's an important gauge, but it also has its shortcomings, and we'll discuss those things too right after this.
All right, Joe, we're back for the break. We're talking about net worth. and why it's such an important thing. And it is, like you said, it's very important for us to track our net worth. It's a very helpful number. But the thing is, it's not perfect, you know? It does fall short. Depending on what's going on in the market, your net worth, it can have big ups and downs. So, for example, I'm thinking, if you bought a home in 2006 and you still own it today, for close to a decade, owning that home likely did not improve your net worth as the value plummeted and slowly then began to rise in the coming years. And so from one year to the next, depending on how your money is allocated, net worth isn't the best benchmark of how you are actually doing, you know, especially considering all the other areas of our lives that are arguably even more important than, you know, how much we're worth.
Yeah, your net worth isn't the end all be all. It doesn't dictate your level of happiness, right? Sometimes the people with the highest net worths are actually the unhappiest among us. And vice versa can be true. People with very little net worth can find so much value in the most important things in life, which are typically people and how you spend your time. And you don't need a high net worth in order to enjoy those finer and cheaper things in life, right? Like spending time with your friends, going on a family hike, the occasional fine craft beer. While that one bottle,
I like all those things.
That one bottle might be kind of expensive, but it's not ridiculously expensive. And even a lot of people of very little means can afford a nice beer from time to time. So while we're talking about the importance of net worth as a measuring stick in this episode, remember the other important non-financial measuring sticks too. The title of this episode is What Are You Worth? And the answer, in part at least, is that you're not worth what your net worth is. And while it is a good barometer, that doesn't directly inform the value of your life and how much fun and joy you can have.
Yeah, there are lots of other aspects of life, right? I'm thinking of like quality relationships. I'm thinking of the ability to kind of manage our own time, right? If you have like time freedom and like meaningful work, like there are so many different ways that we need to keep in mind. All of those things lead to more balance and happiness in our lives. So we're saying that because we want to make sure that we couch this episode a little bit in, you know, the things that are a little more important. But that being said, let's kind of move forward now with, you know, money. Like, that's what we talk about on the show. We've been talking about net worth, why it's important, why it's not overly important, but let's get a little more practical with it. Let's talk about how you can determine your net worth. A lot of folks out there are probably wondering how you can figure the darn thing out. And the simple formula is you take your assets owned minus your debts owed. Your debts are your liabilities owed. So on the asset side, you know, you'll take into account your savings, different investments you have, the value of your home or maybe a business you own, basically anything that has significant value. And then on the debt side, you want to include car notes, mortgage balances, student loans, credit cards, basically anytime you have payments, especially ones that are recurring payments. These are all examples of liabilities.
All right, question for a friend then, Matt. Does their Beanie Baby collection count in their net worth? Like, is that something that's valuable enough to count?
That's actually a good question because I think it would depend on how valuable that odd thing that they have is, you know? Because, I mean, the short answer, what you're looking for is no. Like, that doesn't really count. Like, these are small, insignificant things that we own.
Maybe, but your collection is.
That's the thing. Like, there might be somebody who owns something, like, that's really, really valuable in the thousands of dollars. And so, if you own something that is worth, I would say, like, over $5,000 or $10,000, I think that's when I, at least, would start including that when I'm calculating my net worth.
Yeah, if you can hop on eBay and sell your Beanie Babies for $5,000 tomorrow, then count them in your net worth.
Yeah, that's an asset.
Exactly.
But I mean, that being said, so the way we're talking about determining your net worth here, like, is by doing it by hand. And while that is actually a pretty simple formula, it's not the easiest way. So there are actually better, faster ways to do it. And so that's what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, totally. I love kind of having some help in that regard. And it just makes me think of why I had to learn certain kinds of math when there were calculators that I could use. And the same thing holds is that, like, you don't necessarily have to figure out how to continually update your net worth by hand when you can use some sort of software that's going to help you do that on the reg. And Matt, I've been using Mint for a long time now, and while it doesn't have any of the features that a service like YNAB has, which is specifically trying to help people budget, Mint is great for tracking what you have spent, and it helps you keep up with your overall assets and liabilities. And so in that regard, it helps you stay up to speed on your net worth. If you look on the left-hand side when you log into Mint, if you have a Mint account, you can get a real handy snapshot of your net worth on all of your pertinent accounts as you plug in the login information for your bank accounts, for your investment accounts, and you list what sort of car you own and properties you own. It will keep an updated tab of exactly where you're at when it comes to your net worth. And I like being able to see that snapshot on the reg when I log in. It's one of my favorite things about using Mint, for sure.
Nice, man. Yeah, actually, Mint was the first time I saw my net worth. You know, like back in the day, I had entered in all my accounts, kind of linked up my accounts. And that was the first time I kind of was aware of the fact that like, oh, yeah, I guess net worth is something that is good to start tracking. But recently, I've been using Personal Capital, you know, so like Mint, you can see an up to date figure of your net worth without having to do a bunch of math by hand. But Personal Capital leans a little more into the investing side of things than Mint does. One of the things I love about Personal Capital is that it's got this thing called a U index, which is essentially how your net worth is performing over time. They're able to combine all of your investment holdings into a single number, and then you can track that along and compare it with other indexes like the S&P 500. And so you essentially can see how your, you know, U index, like how you are doing compared to the overall market, or depending on whichever index you want to follow. So, man, I found that to be really stinking cool. And a lot of folks have not heard of Personal Capital before. I actually just wrote a review up on our website there at howtomoney.com. And we'll make sure that we link to it in our show notes for this episode.
Yeah, so much better than like a stone tablet and a chisel. Like keeping your net worth like that, not the way to do it.
I prefer papyrus.
Do you now? Your love for ancient Egyptian history is coming out right now.
Well, I do like history and crappy typefaces.
All right. Well, so now that we know, maybe
that's the designer side of me coming out.
Yeah. I know
about Pappy, about papyrus.
I mean, is that actually a type font?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like this. Yeah.
Dude, I know like Times New Roman and Arial. That's all I know. Sorry. And Helvetica. I hear a lot of designers like that one, right?
Yeah. Helvetica is a great one. But papyrus is like this one that's known. It's kind of got this cult following of people because so many individuals use it to like when they're making like their own business card or they're making their own sign or something like that. A lot of graphic designers like to make fun of it because a lot of non-designers love to use it because it looks fun. It looks interesting. And so it gets a bad rap because of that.
All right. Yeah. If the layperson is using it and the professional's not, I can understand that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about too, Matt. Obviously, if you're using one of those services to help you track your net worth, that's going to be really nice. It's going to come in handy. But evaluating what you're seeing then is really important. It would be ideal, of course, to see your net worth grow every single month. But markets shift and you will see fluctuation. And so as long as you're consistently saving more of your income and investing it wisely, while at the same time avoiding unhelpful debt, that number will grow. It's just not going to be like consistently up and to the right trajectory, right? And I think for those of us who are maybe a little more anal retentive when it comes to following our net worth and tracking it, we might get bummed when the market has a 10% drop in a month. And we're like, man, my net worth's down. That's not cool. But yeah, like we said, net worth is a helpful measuring stick, but it's not perfect. And so yeah, when those markets do shift and when our net worth takes a hit, that shouldn't be a hit to our confidence or make us feel like we're not doing it right. That's just kind of part of how things go as we're building wealth for the future.
That's right, man. And the thing is too, I mean, over the course of years, right, over like when you zoom out, you do want to see your net worth going up over time. If you are seeing it kind of instead of going up and to the right, if you're seeing it going down and to the right, like that's a bad sign.
Cause for concern.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think a lot of our listeners too might be wondering, like when it comes to a specific numbers, like what should I be not necessarily gunning for, but what's normal right now? You know, like where should I be? And you and I, we came across some stats and it showed that the median net worth for somebody who is under 35 is $11,000. And so if you have calculated your net worth and you're like, I'm only sitting at like $2,000, that's okay. There's not this massive chasm between you and what the median person has. And so we wanted to share that because it can be helpful to see where, you know, your peers, where others stack up.
Yeah, Matt, and it's interesting too because net worth is so much about numbers. It's literally this hard number of assets minus debts. But at the same time, there's a certain sense to which your net worth is not a direct reflection of a number. And let me give this example of kind of what I mean by that. For instance, if you went back to school to get an MBA and that cost $50,000 and you're now in $50,000 of student loan debt because you went back to get that MBA. Well, that will negatively affect your net worth for a number of years. But the goal of getting that MBA is that you will have increased earnings after graduation for years and years to come, and that your ability to earn just a much better income over decades is going to far outweigh the student loan debt you took on in order to get that advanced degree. But on the other end of the spectrum, right, let's say you bought a new Tesla, and that is essentially going to be a drag on your net worth because you'll never see a return on that investment car depreciates over time consistently and isn't going to pay back in any meaningful way. So when we're talking about maybe debts that we take on that will affect our net worth, let's think about whether that debt has the ability to positively affect our net worth in the future. And if it does, then there's a conversation that we need to have, and it's something we need to think through. And if it doesn't, I think it should make us pause even more before we consider taking on that debt. And I'm not saying that nobody should buy a new car, but you might want to make sure your net worth is in a good position before you do.
Yeah, that's right, man. It's important for us to consider the quality or the different types of debt that we're saddling ourselves with when we are calculating our net worth. And one of the coolest things too about net worth, man, is, you know, you don't necessarily have to make a massive income in order to really build up your net worth over time. Growing that number requires spending less than you bring in and saving and investing that difference. Like, that's it. The larger we can grow that gap, the faster that we can accelerate our net worth goals. But you don't have to make six figures in order to have a meaningful net worth. Every year, you know, I read a story about someone who worked a normal job as a secretary or a janitor for like 5 or 6 decades and then dies with, you know, $5, $7, $8 million in investments. You know, we'll link to a couple of those stories in our show notes. But like, those are just so stinking inspiring. It really illustrates the fact that you don't have to be a software engineer or a lawyer, like you mentioned earlier, Joel, in order to have and to grow a massive net worth.
Yeah, I agree, man. I love reading stuff like that. And the goal is not necessarily to die at the ripe old age of 95 with $8 million in investments, right? It's not that your net worth should be hoarded and shouldn't be used in retirement. But at the same time, when you read those stories and you're like, man, secretaries and janitors, people that had a really low income were able to build up a meaningful net worth through their investing lifetime. And it's like, man, if they can do it, so can we, all of us out there. All right, Matt, we got more to get to, including the difference between liquid net worth and overall net worth. And what if you've got a negative net worth? We'll tackle some of those questions right after this break.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break and we're talking about net worth, man. And we're going to talk about how to grow your net worth. But before we talk about that, we're going to touch on liquid net worth. I'll be honest, every time I hear liquid net worth, it kind of makes me think of like liquid gold, which makes me think of like an elixir.
Oh, it makes me think of Velveeta cheese.
Oh my gosh, so gross. I was going to say, it makes me think of, have you ever seen Sweeney Todd?
No, I haven't.
The kid sings like, this song is like, by Pirelli's miracle elixir. But it's this cure-all that you hear like hawked in like these olden times. I can't hear liquid net worth and not think of liquid gold elixirs.
Well, get ready for Matt's spinoff podcast where all he does is sing.
Yeah, I'm just going to sing the only two lines from every musical I know. It'll be a compact format podcast for sure.
I think people are going to be into it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about liquid net worth. And when you look at the median American net worth, Matt, you mentioned if it's under 35, it's $11,000. The overall age adjusted American average net worth is $100,000. But most of that net worth is tied up in home equity. So it's not typically easily accessed, especially if someone has been in a home, let's say, for 15, 20 years, and they've built up a meaningful amount of home equity as they paid down the mortgage and as their home has risen in value. That's great, but you don't necessarily have easy access to those funds. And so liquid net worth can be a better measure of your ability to react to financial shocks and financial opportunities than just knowing your overall net worth. You don't really have it at hand for when needs actually arise. So I think that leads to kind of a sub point that diversified net worth is a really important thing for people to shoot for too. If they're putting all their eggs in one basket and it's all about their home's appreciation and they're not saving and they're not investing and they're not trying to grow their net worth in other ways, well, we would suggest taking kind of a more of a multi-pronged approach to growing your net worth and not just banking on your home's value increasing.
Yeah, which isn't a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing that we've seen the value of our homes increase, but a lot of times it's difficult to access that money, you know? I mean, how difficult is it right now to get a HELOC? It's impossible, you know?
And even then you have to pay to access your net worth. You have to pay interest to the bank in order to get some of that money back in your life. So it's net worth on paper, which is great, but it's not net worth in your pocket.
Exactly, yeah. And so a lot of folks too might be asking the question, like, what if my net worth is negative, right? And so, for example, let's say someone is young, like maybe under 25 years old. If they are, like, there's a good chance that that person has a negative net worth. But if you are that young and you know, maybe you have a decently positive net worth, then kudos to you for being so on the ball. But for everyone else, you know, the main reason your net worth will typically be negative at this point is because of student loans and or maybe the lack of years of investing under your belt. That's one example. Another example might be maybe you are older, right? And maybe you haven't prioritized investing. And on top of that, maybe you've been too willing to take on debt. In that case, maybe doing that calculation and seeing that ugly net worth number can be just the motivation you need to finally make some changes.
Yeah, we don't want to be like the ostrich, put our head in the sand, not know the number.
Right.
And because I think when we do that sometimes, we maybe think we're doing better than we are. Or maybe vice versa. Sometimes we think we're doing worse than we actually are. And so having the facts in front of us can help us make a more informed, better decision. And Matt, I agree. I love what you said about negative net worth. A lot of younger people strapped with student loans are going to do the calculation and they're going to realize that their net worth is negative. And then just getting to that zero net worth is going to be a huge triumph. And it's actually even just more of a reason to get on the ball with tracking it and attempting to grow that net worth and then setting new milestones for you to be able to achieve. And I think net worth milestones, while like we said, can fluctuate, it can be helpful to kind of have those in the back of your mind as you think about what it looks like to make progress with your own personal finances.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You definitely don't want to discount climbing out of debt. Like, I mean, basically that's what you're saying. You're saying that like a lot of young folks are going to spend a lot of time getting from negative just to get up to zero. And you don't want to discount those gains made, you know, like getting out of debt's an awesome goal in and of itself. So next, dude, let's talk about ways for individuals to grow their net worth. First of all, it's going to be slow and steady. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Growing your net worth, it's not like a get rich scheme, but it's a process of building wealth slowly. And so there are just honestly millions of different ways to increase your net worth, from something as small as, you know, maybe spending a little less on takeout to something larger, you know, something as big as maybe a new job with a massive bonus. But then taking those different financial wins and then, you know, telling that money what to do is crucial to growing your net worth. And what we're talking about here essentially is budgeting. You need to be able to take the money that you have and put it to work for you. We've done episodes before on budgeting, episodes 51, episodes 176. Both of those were kind of different takes on budgeting. But for the vast majority of us, budgeting is such an important practice for us to implement into our lives in order to grow that net worth number.
Yeah, if you're not budgeting, there's a good likelihood you're not pursuing a higher net worth as well as you could be. And in the end, Matt, we come back to this. It's two fundamentals that determine that net worth number: decreasing debts that you owe and increasing the assets that you own. For most folks, this means investing more in the stock market, specifically in retirement accounts that you have access to. If your employer offers a 401k with a match starting there, or you work for the government and you have a TSP offered to you, that's in all likelihood where you're going to want to start investing. And if you don't have access to those, opening up your own IRA in low-cost, widely diversified index fund, that is going to move that lever of assets that you own, which over time is going to have a massive effect on at least that one half of your net worth.
Yeah, and practically speaking, you can open your own retirement account on platforms that we mention all the time, like Vanguard, Fidelity, even M1 and Ally have great options as well. And so, Joel, you talked about increasing your assets owned. When it comes to, you know, decreasing your debts owed, we're talking about paying down debt. High interest rate credit card debt, like that needs to be gone as soon as possible. That's a no-brainer. But then any debt that you have that's maybe less than 6%, that's going to be a more nuanced conversation, right? So for example, you don't want to give up a company 401k match and then the compounding returns that you would receive from the market in order to pay off maybe a sub 3% mortgage. And so in this case, it kind of depends on your individual circumstances and what your interest rates are.
Yeah, most of us, when we're building our net worth, we're not focused solely on one or the other. We're almost doing both at the same time. Like every month, I'm paying off on my mortgage and the mortgages for my rental properties, but I'm also putting money into my 401k and my IRA. And so at the same time, I'm decreasing my debts and I'm increasing my assets. And so my net worth is starting to see a swing. And after you're doing that same process over a number of years, you start to see a real shift in what your net worth looks like. The great thing about building your net worth is that at a certain point in time, it starts to swing so hard and keep going up so quickly that it feels like the money that you've already put into those assets is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, essentially that's nirvana, right? Like when you are able to have your money working for you harder than you are working for your money, that's basically when you become financially independent.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when you're like, man, I'm so glad I paid attention to my net worth all those years.
Exactly.
And so hopefully this conversation has helped people think about their net worth, the importance of tracking it, and also the ability to know, well, how important it is in your financial life. It's of a lot of importance, but it's also not of ultimate importance. Basically, when it comes down to it, you don't equal your net worth. And in particular, if you're a younger listener who recently got out of college and you're trying to get your money game together and your net worth's in the negative, that doesn't reflect poorly on you. And even if you're older and you've got a negative net worth, that doesn't mean you're less of a person. It's a number that can be really helpful for seeing your personal finances in a quick snapshot. And it does a decent job of helping to reflect your personal financial progress over the years. But if your net worth isn't where you want it to be right now, don't let that get you down. There are all sorts of ways to attack that goal in the future while giving yourself some grace right now, recognizing that you aren't exactly where you want to be, but you can get there in the future.
Yeah, I think we should all be tracking and keeping up with our net worth. But, you know, at the same time, this is one of those instances where it's important to maintain some balance, right? At the same time, like, we should avoid obsessing over that number because there's more to life than just a dollar amount. And so if you have a Mint or personal capital account, maybe check that net worth monthly, you know, just a check-in, or maybe even just once a quarter if you know you are prone to maybe looking at that number a little too much as you're precious, you know. It's an important number to know, but make sure, you know, you do keep it in perspective at the same time. Hopefully, through consistent habits of saving and investing, we're all steadily increasing that net worth towards the status of becoming financially independent one day.
Yeah, that's the goal, man. Financial independence, I think.
Nirvana.
That's what you and I are aiming for. That's what we want our listeners to be aiming for. We do think that if you handle money well over a long period of time, you can achieve financial independence. And like we said earlier, janitors, secretaries, they've been able to do it over the years on small amounts of pay. It doesn't take earning six figures in order to get there. All right, Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on the show today. This one's called Ye Who Enter Here by Orpheus Brewing. It's an imperial stout aged in whiskey barrels with chili peppers, coffee, and vanilla beans, which means this thing is packed with like massive amounts of flavor. So what were your thoughts on this beer, dude?
Dude, this is such a good beer. Like you mentioned all the different ingredients there. And so I will first state that this beer isn't too heavy in body. I think sometimes when you read a label like that and you see all the different flavors that are packed in there, you expect it to maybe almost be like soupy. But I feel like this one has found a perfect balance in being, you know, heavy enough to where it can contain all of those flavors, but then not too heavy to where you don't want to finish this beer. First, though, I want to point out the fact that the chili peppers, man, it has the perfect amount of heat, you know, in the throat for sure.
And most people probably listening are like, heat in a beer? What are you talking about?
Dude, that chili pepper spice is so good.
Chili peppers in a stout, man, it's like a match made in heaven, in my opinion. And they basically perfected it in this beer. It's so good.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, with this beer, when you take it and you swirl it a little bit, the head of the beer, like the tiny little bubbles, it almost has kind of like a red chili pepper kind of color to it.
Totally.
Kind of accentuates the fact that there's a little bit of heat in this beer. But obviously, you can taste those coffee notes, like those deep, earthy, stout-like notes. But then it's got that vanilla as well to kind of brighten it up and kind of shine some light on this beer.
And give it a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah, exactly. I think the sweetness, too, comes from the fact that it's aged in whiskey barrels. That always adds a nice sweet note to it that I'm always looking for. But yeah, man, what were your additional thoughts on this beer?
I mean, dude, I love stouts with chili peppers that are aged in barrels for 2 years. I mean, yeah, this was basically a perfect representation of the style. And it's one of my favorite styles. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Not to mention, on the label, one of my favorite Atlanta artists got to draw the label for this one. His name's R. Land, and his art is incredible. And so, I mean, it's like a trifecta of like a local beer, an incredible beer, and then awesome art on the label. So
yeah, you and I, we actually both have some R. Land artwork up in our home, but he's in particular, in this part of town, like the part of town that we live in, there is a lot of his artwork around town. You know, he's kind of like a street artist, but it's like this mix between... He's kind of like a folk street artist, maybe.
Urban folk or something, maybe.
Like what?
I would probably classify it as urban folk.
Urban folk, yeah, exactly. And so we see a lot of his stuff around town, and it's also great to see his artwork on a label as well. So, man, I'm glad you and I got to share this one. And for folks who happen to be in the Atlanta area, definitely look Orpheus up if you haven't already.
Yeah, they're basically located in Piedmont Park, right off the Beltline. It's a great place to go.
Very central in Atlanta. Yeah,
for sure. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. For anybody who wants show notes for this episode, including a link to some of the places where you can accurately track your net worth, check out our show notes on our website at howtomoney.com.
And we would be incredibly thankful if you haven't already, if you left us a review over at Apple Podcasts or honestly, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Those reviews, honestly, they help us keep going and growing at the same time, man. All right, that's going to be it for this episode, Joel. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.